Hello, Sister Saints. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Seems like it's been a while since I was able to make an audio. We've been super busy. Praise God. The gospel's going out. The word's going out. All different ways. And the Lord's will be done in it all. So anyway, I'm just rejoicing to be able to get this audio done for you. I really wanted to do it because I think it might be edifying and encouraging to you. And I know I've done some of these before. But it's really good to share these experiences because there's so many different things to learn from them. And when I told Brother James what I was going to do, I said, you know, I'm just looking for one key thing because I learn a lot of different things that I could share with you. And he said, you know, he gave me the idea and I'm going to talk about it in a minute. And I'm sure as I share this, you're all going to learn and see things like I did while we're out there. So anyway, we're out on the streets for a couple days in a row preaching the gospel. And sisters, it was amazing. It seems like the more I proclaim things to people while they're walking by, the more people want to stop and talk. And so it was pretty amazing. I had such wonderful one-on-one witnessing with many, many women. There was a lot of men who stopped, got a gospel card, and I pointed them over to Brother James, who was just on the other side of the street right there. We weren't too far from each other. Some of them went over there to talk to him. I said, email him. And then for the women to email me or whatever. But yeah, so that was really good. And I wanted to share a couple observations in there. At one point, I was talking to a group of people who was, they were just getting ready to cross the street. And there was a bunch of women in there. And I always focus on the women. And I proclaimed the gospel, the goodness and severity of God, the warnings of man-made religion and things. And this young woman, she came and she stood. She kind of planted herself right in front of me. And Brother James and I know what happens when we see that kind of how it was done. I thought, yep, I knew this question was going to come. And I was like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. And I smiled at her. And she goes, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. She said, what do you think of the LGBTQ or something like that? I'm not really sure. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, I'm not exactly sure what your point is or what it is you're looking for. I said, do you mean what do we think of them as a people? And she said, yeah. And I said, oh, that's easy. I said, we love them just like we love everybody else. And she smiled bigger. She was smiling before and she got a big smile and she's like surprised. And I said, you know what? We love them just like the drunkards, idolaters, blasphemers, fornicators, whatever sin you want to mention. I said, I got news for you. I said, I was all those things that we're talking about. And I got to preach the gospel, a little bit of my testimony. I preached the gospel to her and I told her, I said, you know, I was all this stuff. And I said, and I hated myself for it. I knew it was sinful. It was wrong. I didn't know the path. I didn't know there was no hope. You know, you just get buried more and more. I said, but I repented and I turned my life toward Christ. And I said, by his blood that paid for my sins, I was washed clean. And he gave me a new heart and a new mind, which means I was born again. And I explained to her that that means you have the Holy Spirit within you. And then I explained, when you're renewed on the inside, it comes on the outside, and we're following him in obedience. And I said, that's why I'm out here on the streets, loving my neighbor, proclaiming the gospel, good news to everybody. I said, just like you. And she said, oh, she was actually really listening. And I said, you know, I got news for you. I want to share something with you. I said, you know those people who are out there, they're really radical and they're yelling, homosexuals, homos, faggots, you know, like in really nasty, derogatory ways. And that's all they do. They just kind of moralize them and try to cut them down. I said, you know what? They don't have the true love of God in them. I said, somebody, the Bible says to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if somebody is going to just go out and do that and they don't have the gospel, they're not wanting to help you, they're not wanting to show you the way, I said, that's not the fruit of a true born-again believer. I said, the true born-again believer will be out sharing the truth. It doesn't matter who it is, what they've done. The blood of Christ can cover anyone's sins. And I said, I told you a lot of my sins, and they were dark and wicked, and he can wash you clean of every single one and make you a new creation. And she stood there smiling. She thought that was pretty awesome. And I said, can I share something else with you? And she said, yeah. I think she was pretty surprised. I said, do you want to know something? I said, when we're out on the streets, we're loving everybody and our neighbor. I said, you've watched me, how I've dealt with people and how I've talked to people, how I talk to you. I said, you know, we get the people that you were concerned about coming up to us and being hateful and mean and doing all kinds of things that try to instigate us in it. And I said, we still love them. We preach the gospel to them, and we offer the hope of eternal life to them through the gospel and offer to help them. I said, that's the fruit of a true believer that you are to look for. And I said, does that all answer your question? She said, yeah. And guess what? She still stood there. I said, can I share some more with you? And she said, yeah. I got to share with her about the deception of man-made religion. And from A to Z, she stood there, and I just got to talk about all kinds of it with her, poured truth into her. And when she was done, she thanked me. She was smiling big, thanked me several times, and walked away. And I thought, wow, what a precious gift. She didn't throw it on the ground and trample it. Because, you know, we've had similar situations like where people look like they're trying to be listening and stuff. And then right at the end, they ask us a vile question or do something. She didn't do any of that, and it was pretty amazing. And I didn't expect her to. I just thought, you know what? I didn't look at her and go, yeah, I'm waiting for it. I didn't. I just let the Spirit lead. I poured it all forth. I gave it to her just like I would give anybody else. And in the end, if she would have thrown it down, that wouldn't have been my problem. I would turn around and give it all to the next person, too, if they asked for it. And so that's one story I want to share. Another one, and you'll see what I'm doing. I'm going to share just two of them with you. There was a group of, I try to be nice when I explain it, tattoos, piercings, radical clothing, spike hair, you know, very, very different looking in this culture. Today, it looks, I guess, normal, but when I grew up, being 50-some years old, that's totally out of the norm. You know what I'm saying? Very, very radical, dark. And they looked like they were trying to portray atheism, Satanism, New Agers, whatever it is, maybe homosexuality, whatever it was. And so as they were coming by, I always make a point to smile at everybody when they come by while I'm talking to them. And I could see some of them were laughing at me as they were coming by, but I just shared with them just like everybody else. And there was one young man in there. He said, thank you for all that. He kept listening. He said, thank you for all that. While the rest of them were like mocking and laughing, walking by, he pulls this card out of his wallet and he shows it to me. It's got like pentagrams and triangles and stuff. And I only got a glimpse of it. He said, I'm an atheist, but thank you anyway. And I said, well, you can repent of that. Christ can wash you clean. And he said, well, thank you. And he went and sat down and the other ones were laughing. And so what I wanted to share with you on this is in the middle of all this, I had a lot of women, and there were some men, that they were like saying, amen, amen. And then they would get mad at me because I would talk about the wrath of God coming down on those who are disobedient to the gospel and don't love Christ, and they're not following him in obedience, and they're on the wide road to destruction, and they need to get on the narrow road and repent. And you can't see the kingdom of God without being born again. And they would yell and say all kinds of nasty things as they're walking by. Go home. Nobody wants you here. You're preaching hate and all this stuff. They were meaner than those two people that I told you. The two people. We find that sometimes those groups are nicer and more receptive to the word and receptive than the worldly churchgoers. And I know we sound like a parrot. We just keep repeating this stuff. But I want you sisters to understand, because here's where I'm going with this. The main point I want to talk about is not having partiality and judging people by their looks or what they're doing and stuff. What I'm talking about is judging a spiritual heart, of what the condition of the heart is. If they're, oh, they're not going to be receptive, look at them. They look wild and crazy. They're not even going to want to hear this. I'm going to go talk to this little old lady who's all dressed up and looks like she's going to go to church, you know, man-made religion. Got to be real careful about that, because we find the opposite. And we see it in the scriptures too, because you think about the publican and the Pharisee. The publican was humble and meek before the Lord. And the Pharisee, he was the one like the old lady I'm talking about, you know, that looks like she's all good and wanting to receive the word. And I wanted to say, you know, it's in 1 Timothy 5:21. We're to do nothing by partiality. So here's the deal. Like when we're on the street, we see a lot of, if you just want to say like average looking American or whatever, yeah, there's a lot of tattoos and spikes going. It's starting to look more radical than it is average. I don't know how to put all these, what I'm trying to say, but you probably understand it. At least half to maybe three quarters of people just look like they always have, you know, just whatever. not biblical, but they're just going about minding their business. And then there's that group that's rising up that looks very, very radical, totally opposite of anything that would be good and moral. And those are the people we just find 9 times out of 10, they will hear it more than the rest of the world. Yeah, we get atheists who say things, but you know what? Brother James has talked to atheists that have been really nice and respectful. I've stood and talked for 25, 30 minutes to women who looked like they just walked out of a strip club and they were hungry for the word of God. Now, if Brother James and I were to look at those people and go, oh, biker guy, yep, he looks mean and tough. You know, he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and he's got, you know, chains hanging off his belt loops and things and tattoos all over. A lot of times he'll get what they call a fist punch, you know, instead of a handshake, you punch fists together like a hay. And a receiving of the gospel and hearing what the word has said, not and walking away reading it. Now, if we were partial to that and we looked at that and thought, nah, we'll let that one go by and get the next one, what does that say? That means we're judging the outside by the appearance. You know, I also want to say, and I know I've shared this before, when I was first born again, I looked like a harlot, doing my hair, my nails, my makeup, wearing skin-tight clothes and all this other stuff. And I knew it was wrong, and I did make some changes. I didn't know it in the Bible. We're talking babe, brand new in Christ within months, never having any knowledge of what's in God's Word in the New Testament, and how I was still working through the first 4 books of Christ and seeing everything that he'd done and learning what he said and how, you know, all these things that we're supposed to learn. I didn't even get to the rest of it yet. I was that new, looking like it. And if a godly person had the truth and they saw me and I looked like a worldly carnal woman, they had no clue of the burning desire and the love I had for my Lord and Savior and the desire I had for a godly woman to stop me in my tracks and say, you're claiming to be a Christian. Can I help you in that? I think I would have fallen on my knees in thankfulness, thanking the Lord to give somebody to say, let me help you become a godly woman. Let's sit down in the scriptures, because I know you don't want to grieve the Father and the Holy Spirit by acting and doing what you're doing. If your heart is transformed, I know you want to follow in obedience. Let me help you find where that is in the scriptures, and we can teach you what that is. Wow, that would have been so phenomenal. That's exactly what I was looking for. And if somebody would have just looked past me and went, whoa, I don't even want to look at her. She is so vile looking. I don't want nothing to do with her. Wow, what a judgment that would be on that person. So let's all think about our hearts and partiality and not have any of that. And I guess I'm kind of talking about in the witnessing thing. Let's quickly go over into partiality when it comes to sharing the truth. A lot of people hang around their family and their friends and spend more time with them hoping to give them the truth of God's word because they love them, but they wouldn't think twice about sitting at the neighbor's house that long doing all that stuff with a neighbor or somebody they didn't know, because they don't know that person, right? Isn't that partiality? So I'm going to spend all this time with my family. Yeah, they do and say a lot of things and they're worldly and stuff, but I love them. I want them to have the truth, so I'm going to spend my time with them. What about all the rest of the world in your neighborhood? So if you're going to sit and spend the time with your children, your aunts, your uncles, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, whatever, but you won't spend that with the world and sit someplace and have a cup of coffee with a worldly woman that might want to hear the word of God, whereas your family might not want anything to do with it till the day they die, what does that tell you about your heart? So it's just something we want to always keep readjusting ourselves. We know the word of God says we're supposed to preach the gospel to everybody, not have the partiality, but we always got to keep examining our flesh and making sure that we're not accidentally falling back into that trap. We're not judging people by how they look. And I'm keeping this all in reference with sharing the gospel and type things like that. I could go all over the place, but this is the main point I want to say. So hopefully that was encouraging to you. I thought I would end it with Romans 10:15. I love this. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. All right, sisters, let's make sure we're sharing that equally with everybody, not holding our past experiences on the next person coming along. Freely it was given to us. Freely let's give it to them. What people do with it is their business and God's business. When we're done giving it out, we just make sure we're ready to give it to the next person. All right, love you, sisters. Hold fast. May God be praised.